Eardrop is a specific example going on reading. The slamming of doors, although seemingly a minor fault, greatly disturbed Srila Prabhupada. It symptomized carelessness and misuse, and Prabhupada said the sound cracked his heart. One time Prabhupada came out of his room and called out, "Who is that slamming the doors? No one knows from where this building has come. You take it for granted that it is here, but no one cares." So this is the Krishna consciousness. We are the Krishna consciousness movement to really be conscious. Everything. Krishna consciousness teaches us how to take care of ourselves, other people, even tables, even doors, everything. Everything. Just like Hayagriva in the early days of ISKCON, he moved something with his feet. Prabhupada was very upset. Just some mat on the floor or something. Everything belongs to Krishna. In one sense, everything is Krishna. And Krishna says, before the creation, there was nothing but I. And during the creation, there's nothing but myself. After the creation, what exists continues to be myself. Our philosophy is achinta bheda bheda tattva. Actually, everything is Krishna's energy. Everything is actually Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada said the person bathing the deity and the person cleaning the floor are equal. If we have this consciousness, then we'll be so happy. Because there's Krishna everywhere. Krishna's microphone stand and the table and the chairs. And we can feel a connection with Krishna everywhere if we deal nicely. More often, however, Srila Prabhupada displayed a rose-like softness, an intimate, informal, and affectionate nature. The holy Dham of Mayapur was a spiritual world, the Loka Vrindavana, so the devotees there were living with Prabhupada in the spiritual world. Wouldn't that be nice? We can also think like that. Prabhupada is also here. More than most any other place in the world, the devotees living in Mayapur knew they could walk into Prabhupada's room and see him. So it was very informal. Very informal. Generally, you can't just walk into the guru's room and see him. This is the explanation Rupa Goswami gives in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of being honorable, Krishna's quality of being honorable. Does anyone know what is the example of how Krishna is honorable? Anybody remember from Nectar of Devotion how Krishna is honorable? Anybody know? What is the example?
Getting the sandals.
Oh, that's very nice. I don't think he gives that example, but that is a very nice example. Krishna carrying Nanda Maharaj's sandals. That is giving honor. But this is that Krishna is honored. So, but that's a wonderful, that's a lovely pastime. Anybody have some idea? Krishna's being honored by the residents in Dwarka. Actually, Rupa Goswami does give an example from Dwarka, but not from the residents of Dwarka. From
the queens?
Not the queens, not the residents.
Brahma. Brahma's coming in.
Brahma, yes, from the devas, from the visitors. So the demigods are coming, and what happens when the demigods come to Dwarka to see Krishna? Anybody know? Oh, that is another wonderful story. I love that story of all the Brahmas coming because I love that story because Krishna is in every universe. Each Brahma sees Krishna only in my universe. But Arunur Brahma saw everybody in the same place. That is a wonderful story about how Krishna is transcendental to all time and space, especially to space, how Krishna is transcendental to space. Wonderful story. It's not the example that Rupa Goswami gives. Anybody know? What is the example?
They salute Krishna.
Huh?
They salute Krishna.
They salute Krishna, they certainly do, but again, that is not the example. Excellent, excellent, but not the example. Anybody else know?
Brahma doesn't enter directly to a Krishna, he speaks to the people for the permission.
Ah, you're getting very close. So Lord Brahma has to ask permission. See, if you were thinking, you would think that I'm giving this example in relationship to what we're talking about in the Lamrita, right? But what are we talking about in the Lamrita? That the devotees could do what? What could they do in Mayapur? They had access. They could just go into Srila Prabhupada's room. So in Dwarka, did the demigods just have access? No. What did they have to do if they wanted to see Krishna? They had to wait. They had to wait. That is one of the symbols in society. I'm also a professor of sociology of religion. So one of the symbols of status in society is other people have to wait for you. You do not have to wait for them. That is a symbol of status. Just like when we go to see a doctor or a lawyer or a politician, do they have to wait for us? No, we have to wait for them. And Rupa Goswami is explaining that Brahma, Shiva, they're waiting a long time. And the secretary says to Varuna, I'm sorry, Krishna will not have time to see you today. He's too busy. You have to leave. And he tells Indra, he says, you are reciting your prayers too loudly. You are disturbing everyone. Please be quiet. So this is honorable, right? This is honorable. But here in Mayapur, I can tell you also actually a little story. I was in, I think it was Bahrain. So when I was in Bahrain, they had a program scheduled for 8 o'clock at night. So the way I'm trained in America is that the teacher is always supposed to be early. That the teacher is also supposed to respect the students. American culture is a little different. So at 7:50, I said, okay, we need to go now, so I will be there at 8 o'clock. So we got the driver, I was sitting in the car, and then someone calls the driver and says, what are you doing? He says, oh, Rila's here, we're going to the program. He says, no, no, you cannot go now. She will be early. That will be very bad. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? Now go back up to my room and just wait? I said, I'm already in the car, I'm already ready. And we go, I can just chant. So we went there, and I was the first one there. Because everybody there, everything's late. So I'm just sitting outside the hall and just chanting, and the devotees are coming in. And later they told me, I heard indirectly through somebody else, everybody was so disturbed that you were waiting for them. They felt that they had offended you because you were waiting for them. They said, they have to wait for you. You cannot wait for them. I said, oh, okay. So then next evening, again, there was a program at 8 o'clock. So then I did not leave my room until 8:30. I said, today I'm going to be late. But of course, because the previous day I had been there at 8 o'clock, so everybody else was there at 8 o'clock. So they had to wait for me for 40 minutes, but then they were very happy. And they were very happy. Oh, now you have followed the proper etiquette for our culture. But this is it's a symbol. If someone's very honorable, you don't get just free access. You have to wait. But here in Mayapur, Prabhupada, he was making himself available. We see that, of course, in the very early days of ISKCON also. Prabhupada made himself very, very available to the devotees. So they could just walk into his room and go see him. Now, this is what perhaps even more astonishing, this next part we're going on to read. He sometimes even walked into their rooms while they were working, reading, or talking. He might suddenly walk in and speak with them. So last night, I was trying to find out what section I was going to read, and Shankripa very kindly, she got a photocopy, because we did a program late yesterday, and she was reading from the photocopy in the car. So when she read this, when they were working, reading, or talking, he might suddenly walk in and speak with them. So what do you think Prabhupada might say? Prabhupada's walking around the complex and just walking into people's rooms. What do you think might be his reason? Any idea?
Encourage them.
To encourage them, okay? What else?
To
correct them, to encourage, to correct. To be friendly. To acknowledge them, some other ideas?
To see if they are Krishna conscious enough and if they have all the facilities that are required.
To see if they are Krishna conscious enough and if all the facilities are required. Any other ideas?
That's a translation.
Oh, that's a translation, okay. So, who here has some training in management? If you have some training in management, please raise your hand. Who has some training in management? Only that many. That's all. I thought so many Indians there to have bachelor's and master's in management. So, there is a form of management
walking around, man.
Called management by walking around. Management by walking around. MBA, MBWA. Management by walking around. So when I got my graduate degrees in educational leadership, one of the things they taught us to do is called a walkthrough. That every day the leader goes to every room. So we were being trained how to manage a school. So we were being trained how to go into every classroom. And we were told the head of the school every day should be in every classroom at least 2-3 minutes. And we had a very simple list. I mean, our list was appropriate for a school, but we had to first list at the look at the physical facility. Are there anything dangerous? Is there a broken wire? Or is there something that's not repaired properly? What is the cleanliness level? You know, what is the decorations on the walls? Looking at the physical facility. And the next thing we were looking at was how were the students behaving? What method was the teacher using? Just very simple things that we were looking at. And when we did this every day, over many weeks, many months, you really got to know what was happening in your school. You could really understand. And at the beginning, the teachers would be a little nervous when you would walk in. But when you made it a habit, then they would be relaxed and they would be actually just behaving as if you were not there. So I'm remembering many, many years ago in the old New York temple, 55th Street Temple. Now, unfortunately, due to somebody's foolishness, we sold that building. Very big mistake. But anyway, we had an 11-story building right in the middle of Manhattan. So New York City has 5 sections, so Manhattan is the most important. And we were right in the middle of the most important place. The only other temple we have in this same situation is our Soho Street Temple in London, which is also right in the middle of London, in central London. But the Soho Street Temple is very, very small. It's very, very small. You go on the stair, very difficult for 2 people to be in the stairs at the same time. Everything is very, very small. All the rooms, all the hallways, the temple room is very, very small. Very difficult. Festivals there are extremely difficult. People, they're sitting on the stairs and so on. But our temple we had in New York was very, very big. We had enough rooms for 300 devotees. 300 rooms were living in that building. And then we had another floor to that was just the living, the place for living, enough for 300 devotees. Then we had another floor, whole big floor for guests. Then we had another big floor for VIP guests, and Srila Prabhupada had a big flat there on that floor. Top floor, there was a garden. Then there was one big floor for Back to Godhead offices, a whole floor of offices. Then another big floor with 2 huge prasadam rooms, we could feed 1,000 people at a time, no problem, and also a professional theater. Amazing. And then we had, of course, the main floor. We had a shop right on the street level, right in the middle of Manhattan. So every day, average, we were making 3 honor members. Honor members means they gave $333, and they promised to chant 1 round of japa. And every day, we're making an average of 3, all from the shop. All from the shop. And then we had a beautiful reception desk, and a lounge for greeting guests, and a huge temple, bigger than this temple. It was bigger. 1.5-2 times maybe the size of this temple. Huge temple. Then downstairs, we had a huge kitchen. Very, very big kitchen. And we had a restaurant, could seat about 200 people. And then we had a bakery, also downstairs, a very big place. And because we were right in the middle of the city, if you wanted to do book distribution, you simply take 1 step outside the door. You didn't have to go any place. You know, and Harinam, we do Harinam again right outside the door. So anyway, we used to have a habit there in this temple, just like you were also enthusiastic in the kirtan. But then you were also very, maybe I'm going to get in big trouble with the management for telling you this. I don't know if I should tell you this story or not. But you were all very enthusiastic in the kirtan, but exactly 8 o'clock when the doors closed, you stopped. So we were not so obedient. So sometimes, not every day, but sometimes the kirtan would not stop. The doors would close and the kirtan would just keep going. And one day, the kirtan leader just spontaneously took the kirtan out of the temple room and started to go through the building. So they went down to the kitchen and they were playing the pots like instruments. And they were going through the whole building. And that day there was no Bhagavatam class. And the kirtan went on like till 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning. And sometimes that would happen, not regularly, but sometimes. So our GBC was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So he got very inspired by the fact that the devotees did this sometimes. So he decided to systemize it. So every Monday evening, we would take Radha Krishna, the Utsaha Murti, we'd take them in a palanquin and take a kirtan all over the building. He said, if we're going to take kirtan all over the building, let's take Krishna all over the building. So Radha Govinda had their management by walking around. Because a very interesting thing happened. All that Tamal Krishna Maharaj said was, we're going to take the deities around the building. That's all he said. Nothing else. We're going to, every Monday night we would do it. He said, we're going to take this kirtan, we would go in the kitchen, and we would go on all the floors. And then also spontaneously, nobody said anything, nobody arranged anything, nobody preached anything. But naturally, if you know that Radha and Krishna are going to come, what are you going to do? You're going to clean, yes? So everybody, they didn't say, Mahakniyam. Nobody said, nothing. We just did. And not only did we do Maha Cleanup, pretty soon, because the deities were going through the whole building, every part of the building, except the toilet room, every part of the building. So they would come by our rooms also. So we thought, they're going to come to my room, they should see my room. So you'd go to your room and you'd open the door. And pretty soon, again, just spontaneously, each devotee was standing next to their room. And this didn't all happen the first week. Gradually, as every week this went on, somebody thought, let me stand by my door. And then other people, oh, I will do that too. And pretty soon, we would all greet the deity, and then we would run to our rooms and stand by the door. And then we would make some offerings. Somebody would offer some incense, somebody would offer some flowers, some fruit, something. And then, I think it was, we had 2 floors for brahmacharis, 1 floor for brahmacharinis, 1 floor for grahastas without children, 1 floor for grahastas with children. So I don't know who started it. It was probably the brahmacharis. But on one of the brahmachar floor, I think that was where it started. So they decided they were going to decorate the whole floor. So they went to the park, and they got leaves and flowers, and they decorated the floor. And then everybody else thought the next week, oh, we will also do this. So then we had a competition. And everybody was trying to decorate their floor. And then, I don't remember again who started, someone decided, we will not just decorate, but we will sing some prayers. So the deities would come like to the grasta without children floor, and all the grastas are standing there chanting Ramasamhita. And then they think, now we will do on our floor. And then sometimes we would do a drama, or we would do chanting, or we would, and each group of devotees, they were competing to try to please the deities. And this way, the deities were inspecting their whole temple every week. Right? When we visit New Vrajdam also, sometimes Shivaram Maharaj, he does a parikrama of the property because he's established holy places every year. And we also take Utsa Murti and Govardhan Shila, and we take them to see the whole property. And Shivaram Maharaj told us, he said, don't think Krishna is only here on the altar. He says, the whole place is his abode, so naturally he is going and visiting his abode. Okay? So Prabhupada was doing this management by walking around. He was regularly going around, going to visit the rooms of the devotees and talking to them. But what I find also very interesting is what Prabhupada said. So we'll finish this paragraph. He sometimes even walked into their rooms while they were working, reading, or talking. He might suddenly walk in and speak with them, asking how they felt and how they were adjusting to living in India. Especially in those days, we didn't have any kind of facilities. Now at least there's some facility. But if you come from a Western country and you come to India out in the village, it's a little difficult. Prabhupada said, is it difficult living here? He would ask. I think India is too hot, Prabhupada said. What do you think? So this is very surprising. So Srila Prabhupada was from Calcutta. He was born and raised in Calcutta. This is Mayapur, also Bengal. How is it that Prabhupada is saying, I think India is too hot?
From their point of view.
From their point of view, yes. What is Srila Prabhupada doing here? He is not just doing management by walking around. He is connecting with the devotees. He is connecting with the devotees. Is it difficult for you here? I think it is too much. And then Prabhupada says, what do you think? What do you think? So they actually tell you, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. It's no problem. Not a problem. So this is also a key idea in management and relationships. What do you think? So here we see the mood of the Vaishnava. Generally, we want to be Krishna. We want to be the Purusha. We don't understand Krishna is also like this, actually. Krishna is also asking the devotees, what do you think? Like when Krishna, I just gave a seminar on Bhagavatam 10:32. When Krishna leaves the gopis, returns to Rasalila, so it's described, they're all sitting by the bank of the Yamuna, and the gopis are massaging Krishna's feet and hands. But the acharyas say that maybe Krishna was also massaging their feet. So this is also Krishna's mood. Krishna is asking the devotees, what do you want? What do you think? When the Singhadev comes, he says to Prahlad, what benediction would you like? And Prahlad said, I'm not a merchant. I didn't serve you for some benediction. And the Singhadev says, it is my pastime to give benedictions. What do you want? And Krishna is also asking, what do you think? Yes? Who did Krishna ask, what do you think? Huh? Arjuna? Yes, who else? What do you think? Buddha. Right? When they're in Dwarka, and the messenger comes and says, Maharaj Yudhisthira is going to have the Rajasuya. And right before that, the messenger from the kings, kidnapped by Jarasandha, had come and said, all these kings, I think 80,000 kings, they're imprisoned by Jarasandha. They gave a very interesting argument. They said, Krishna, you're here to establish Dharma. And how is it that you are tolerating Adharma? How are you tolerating that Jarasandha has imprisoned us? This is Adharma. And then they said, you could say it was our karma. But karmani nirdhati kintu chubhakti bhaja. We're your devotees, we don't have any karma. So how is it that we are imprisoned? How are you tolerating that we are imprisoned? And Krishna said, yes, I will come and rescue you. He had just said that. And then the messenger comes from the Pandavas, come to the Rajasuya. So Krishna turns to Uddhava, what do you think? I just said I would rescue these kings, and now we have this other invitation. What do you think? So Krishna is also asking the devotees, what do you think? And here Prabhupada's asking, what do you think? And Prabhupada is connecting with them. See, Prabhupada is connecting with the devotees. Is it difficult to you? Because by this time, Prabhupada had spent some time in the West. He knew the difference in the living, the comfort level. Is it difficult? I think it's hot. Is it hot for you? So generally, our tendency is that we want others to connect with us, but we do not connect with them. This is the tendency of the materialist. We become very disturbed when other people do not connect with me. If someone doesn't know what I need, and someone doesn't know what I want, then we become very disturbed. Just like I travel all over the world with one very small bag, and people are, they're always giving me gifts, and sometimes they give me very strange gifts. I was in one temple, they gave me a picture of their deities, but in a big frame. Must have been a very expensive frame, carved wood, must have been like $250 frame. Big frame, big wooden frame with glass. How are you going to put this in a suitcase? And I'm thinking, why don't they understand what I need? I become disturbed. Why don't they understand what I need? I had a very funny story, and you are not going to believe this story. You're not going to believe it. You're going to think I'm making it up or I'm exaggerating, but I swear this is a true story. Every detail is true. So I was in Brazil, and after one class, one girl came up to me and said, I want to give you a DVD. This is a DVD of my guru. And her guru is not in ISKCON. And I just said, I don't have any way to watch this. I said, I don't have an optical reader. You know, the new computers, they don't have a place for CDs anymore. I said, I don't have an optical reader on my computer. I can't watch a DVD. Oh, please take it, she said. I said, I can't watch it. Oh, please, please, you take it. I tried to be very clear. I cannot watch it. And she said, I want to give it to you. Okay. I think, is this about me or about you? You're giving me a gift, but it's about you. So I what to do with it? It was some other guru somewhere, so I couldn't even give it to somebody else, you know. Usually if people give me a gift I can't use, I give it again to somebody. I couldn't give it to anybody, so I had to put it in the rubbish bin. So then I traveled to South Africa, and I told the same story. We were talking about Dadati Pratibhinati, and we were talking about giving gifts, the loving exchanges, so nectar and starch. So I told this story. And the next day, some man who had been to my class the previous day, he comes up to me after the class, and he says, I would like to give you this DVD. And I was standing there like, I don't believe this is happening. And I said, what is this DVD? He says, oh, it is a guru in the line of Sankaracharya. I thought, this could not be real, you know? And I said, excuse me, my dear sir. I said, I don't have an optical reader in my computer. I can't watch it. He said, no, you please take it. It's the same thing, you know? And I get it, I have to throw it in the rubbish bin. So this was a little disturbing. If somebody is trying to, they're not connecting, you understand? It's a little disturbing. You think, why is somebody trying to do something with me that I don't want? That's not me. So we become disturbed when people do not try to connect with us. But often we do not try to connect with other people. Yeah? We can just imagine a different scenario here. You know, you could go to everybody's rooms and say, why are you just in your room? Why are you not doing any service? Oh, Prabhuji, it's so hot in India. It's so difficult for me. I am from Germany. I'm not used to this climate. Oh, you are in Maya. Don't you know you're not this body? What is this? Do you tolerate this? Get out, work. What is this? Too hot. You are in Maya. We could do this, right? Haven't you ever seen devotees do this kind of thing? Right? We just take out a big hammer and we just beat it. You know? Be Krishna conscious now. You are in Maya, you nonsense. Why are you finding anything difficult? Prabhupada said, what is the difficulty? What is your difficulty? You are just not surrendered. And we do this because we're not trying to connect with anybody. We don't realize, like we were talking about the building, it's Krishna's. We shouldn't slam the doors. What about slamming the devotees? If slamming the doors is cracking Prabhupada's heart, then slamming the devotees must be 100 times cracking Prabhupada's heart. And Prabhupada just said, are you having difficulty? I think it is very hot. What do you think? First connect, then correct. First connect, then correct. First connect, then preach. First connect, then help. First connect, then correct. Prabhupada talks about, I think it was in his lectures in Mumbai in 76. Prabhupada gave a series of lectures about the Brahmacharya Ashram in Mumbai in 76. So those of you who are in the Brahmacharya Ashram, you might want to take note of those lectures. Prabhupada was talking about Gurukul and Brahmacharya Ashram. He was going back and forth because Gurukul traditionally is the Brahmacharya Ashram, of course. And I think he was there, although it might be someplace else. So I apologize if I'm citing the wrong source, but I was preparing for this class in the car at 9 o'clock at night. So I didn't have a chance to look it up. But there's one place, I think it's there, where Prabhupada says there must be great love between the guru and the disciple. He said, otherwise, how will you give yourself to another person? Because one is supposed to surrender, right? We are singing Guru Vandana every day, how we are surrendering to the Guru. I just want my consciousness purified by the words from your mouth. Chande, chande, Prabhu say. That is a big surrender. Even bhakti, we are saying, no, I will stay and serve you. So how much love there must be. It is not that the relationship between the devotee and Krishna or between the devotee and guru is one of force, one of harshness, it's one of love, that you trust. Krishna is my best friend, he's going to take care of me. Guru is my best friend, he's going to take care of me. Therefore one surrenders. Who do we surrender? We surrender to somebody that we trust, yes? Of course, in this world it's very difficult. You can't really trust anybody. I mean, frankly, we can't even trust ourselves, isn't it? Anybody here 100% trust yourself?
No.
Probably. But you can see here, Prabhupada is establishing connection. Connection. Prabhupada talks about in the prayers of Queen Kunti when she asked to sever her tie of affection for her kinsmen, the Rishis, the Pandavas. Prabhupada says that this is cutting off the bodily tie, but we should have a connection soul to soul via the super soul. He said, seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing in the sunlight is actually seeing. When there's Krishna there, you can connect with everyone. Now, this is very important. We cannot connect with other jivas directly. We cannot connect with other jivas directly. We cannot connect with other jivas directly. That is not possible. When we try to connect with other jivas directly, we get frustrated, they get frustrated, we get bitter, we get angry. It's not possible. Like Srila Prabhupada talks about in the Ishopanishad, that we imagine we are disconnected with Krishna like a hand cut off from a body. So if my hand is cut off from my body, it is no longer a complete hand. It looks like a complete hand. You see a severed hand. It will, all the fingers will be there, everything will be there, but it doesn't have any function as a hand, correct? It's not really complete. When the hand is connected to my body, then it's complete. And when the hand is connected to my body, then it is also connected to every other part of my body. Immediately and instantly. But the hand is cut off. How can, if you take the cut off hand, okay, you have a cut off hand, and you put that on your head, is it connected to your head actually? No. It's not. But when it's connected to my head, isn't it? The blood is flowing from my head to my hand, the nerves are going through, all the connection is there. So when I'm connected to Krishna, then I can be connected to all living entities. And if I think I'm disconnected from Krishna, I cannot connect to anyone. So there are many people who study psychology, psychiatry, social work, and they will also say, you first have to connect. First connect, then correct. First connect, then help. They will also say that. But they can't connect. They don't know how to connect. They become frustrated. Whenever we try to connect with another jiva without first being connected with Krishna, we feel very frustrated. They don't understand us, we don't understand them. They are not pleasing us, we are not pleasing them. We do so much for them and they do not notice, they do not appreciate, they do not reciprocate properly. Isn't that our experience? Whether it's our parents, can we perfectly please our parents? Is that possible? Your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, anybody. Even the devas, even guru, if you try to please separate from Krishna, it's not possible. Even guru, people will become very angry at their guru. Oh, I serve so much my guru doesn't even notice me. That means trying to serve separate from Krishna. It means trying to have a separate connection. Why? Because when you're first connected with Krishna, you are fully satisfied. Savayam Sampara Dharma Yato Bhaktiya Hosche Hotu Ki Pratyata Yat Yatma Supersiditi Raja Vidya Rajabhuya Pravitram Idhutma Prachaksha Bhagavan Dharmam Susukam Kartamavayam. You experience directly happiness. Why? Because you're connected with Krishna and Krishna's overflowing with happiness. When my hand is connected to my body, and if my body is healthy, then my hand feels full of life. Yes? If my body is healthy and my hand is connected, then my hand feels life. So if we are connected with Krishna, and Krishna is always healthy, he doesn't need to see an Ayurvedic doctor. One time he had to take the gopi's dust on his head. That's Lila. So Krishna is always healthy. He's always overflowing with life. And we are actually connected. We cannot be disconnected. It's not possible. But when we realize we are connected, then we also feel full of life. And we feel full of unlimited life. So much we cannot contain it. Like Prabhupada, he has this storehouse of love of God and it's overflowing. Right? We talk about it's flooding. The description is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this love of God is flooding. What does flooding mean? It means that there's the limit. Maybe stand up. The limit is overreach, yes? When we feel connected with Krishna, the limit of happiness and satisfaction and peace is overreached, it's flooding. And then you can connect with everyone. Do you understand that?
Yes.
If I try to connect with anyone separately, it will not work. You can practice so many techniques. So becoming a teacher, I've learned so many techniques of counseling and teaching how to connect with people. And you know, they work somewhat. Something. Some of them are in suffering. You know, there's something. Better than Raja Kumbhatan. But it's not what you want. Even suffering is not what you want. So this should be our dealing, especially with the devotees, but with every living entity. Even on moral grounds, Prabhupada talks about Janakapandi as the three moral principles, material principles, right? That a man should see other men's wives like his mother, anyone who's not his wife. That other people's garbage is like, other people's property is like garbage. Other people's garbage is like your property. Some people think like that, actually.
It's a good model.
A good model, yeah. No, that's not the principle. Sorry. Other people's property is like garbage in the street. You don't touch. And you treat other people the way you want to be treated. We want other people to connect with us. We want other people to understand us. We don't want people to just come and say, "You're my Krishna conscious." No. We want other people to understand, "Oh, is there some difficulty? Is it too hot? I think it's hot. Is it hot? Anything you need?" That's what we want. Everybody wants this, because we're a soul, and the souls in the spiritual world are all connected. We all want this. And even when you merge into the Brahman, you feel connected, you know. So this is, we should give, even on moral grounds, forget spiritual life, even moral grounds, we should treat others the way we want to be treated. Moral principle. And every society has this moral principle, correct? Is that correct? What do they call that moral principle? You. No, mind you. What do they call this moral principle? That what we want from others, we should give. What do they call this?
Split for that.
Oh, no! Oh, Hare Krishna, no, we don't have... Oh, my God, you know, Krishna, that is the opposite. Oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, save us. No, not tit for tat. Tit for tat means you heard me, I heard you back. That's tit for tat. No. This is how I would like to be treated, I treat others. Not how I am treated, I treat others. How I am treated, I treat others. That is tamo guna. How I would like to be treated, I treat others. What is this called? Do you know? No? Anybody knows?
Empathic.
To be empathic? Yes, but there's a name. Anybody know what it is called? It's called the golden rule. You've heard this? They don't say anything. It's called the golden rule. So all over the world, in every culture, they have this golden rule. Doesn't matter what is the culture. You go to China, you go to Russia, you go to Peru, everywhere, in every culture. They teach how you want to be treated, that's how you should treat others.
Do unto others.
Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Not do unto others as they do unto you. That will entangle you in karma. But do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. So we want people to understand us. We want people to connect with us. First thing, we want to trust them first. Then, if we trust somebody, then they can say very heavy things. If you trust somebody, then they can say to you, "You are in Maya. What is this? Ahankar." But you cannot say that first thing. You understand? You cannot go to the people, I mean you can, but it is not effective. You should not go to the people on the street and say, "My dear Ho, hog, dog, camel, and ass. Please take this book. I will not take it. But if you say that, oh, you are very intelligent, what are you interested in? What do you do? Oh, I do engineering. Oh, this is a book about an engineer. How he's engineering everything. You understand? That's always how we distributed books. First connect, then correct. First connect, then correct. And the only way to connect, really connect, is soul to soul via the super soul. That was one of Prabhupada's many, 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 many glories. Is because Srila Prabhupada was fully connected, is fully connected with Krishna. Therefore, we could feel that Prabhupada was connecting with us. We could feel like that. I was thinking when Prabhupada met us in 1975, when my father became a life member and Prabhupada gave me Gayatri Mantra, my father handed the life membership check directly to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was the first connecting with him. He said, oh, I have seen you before. My father says, yes, twice before in Chicago and New York. And Prabhupada was just, he was very relaxed. He was saying, oh, so how are you now? How are you doing? He says, yes, this is your daughter. And my father says, yes, this is my daughter, my son-in-law, and my sleeping grandson. And Prabhupada said, oh, make him active like you. He was very friendly. He was just connected. Prabhupada didn't immediately say, you rascal. He didn't do that. He didn't say, why aren't you surrendering to Krishna? Oh, how are you? How are you doing? You make your grandson active like you would probably say to him, so I am old man, you are old man. Prabhupada was connecting. And my father asked about changing the body. Prabhupada said, just like I am old man and you are old man. So my father was a wonderful man, but he wasn't like Prabhupada. You understand? Prabhupada was saying, we are the same. It was connecting. So we can examine how we feel when people deal with us without first connecting with us. It's very painful. When they just assume what we like, they assume what we need, or they just come and correct us with a big hammer. How do we feel? So you examine next time somebody deals with you like that. How does it feel? And we should not cause that pain to anyone. If we should not slam the doors, we should not slam the devotees. Or anyone. Always deal with everyone so that Prabhupada would smile, so that Krishna would smile. People who have some materialistic religion, they try to deal with God to impress other people. Just see how religious I am. See, I am worshiping God. Are you watching? So we should do opposite. We should deal with the jivas to impress Krishna. You understand? When we're dealing with other jivas, we should think, are you watching? Are you watching? First connect, then correct. To make an effort to do this. So when we first make an effort to do this, I should give you just a little warning. When we first make an effort to do this, first thing will happen is you will notice how you are not doing it. That is always what happens. When you say, this is what I'm going to do, first thing is you become aware, oh, I am not doing this. So please don't get discouraged. That's a good sign. That's a good first step. First step. And then to make an effort, first to connect with Krishna. Krishna, are you watching? Is Krishna always watching?
Yes.
Do we have to be in the temple room for him to be watching?
No.
Sarvasya Chamakini San Christo. Krishna is in our heart. Ishwar Sarvabhutanam Adeshya Dhyanjistati. He's in our heart, he's in every atom. He's always watching, he's always listening. And we should think, okay, first Krishna, let me connect with you. Let me connect with you. Then I can connect with other jivas. And from that position, then I can correct. Then I can help. Then I can be a friend. Then I can be everything. To first connect. And imagine if in our ISKCON society, everybody behaved the way Prabhupada was behaving. Just imagine. Even if in one temple, even if in one department, if everyone behaved like that. Management by walking around, not just sitting in your own room, your own life, what am I doing, who cares what anybody else is doing. Actually going around, and then, are you having any difficulty? I think it's not. Is it not for you? What kind of a society would we have? We would not be able to fit everybody in our society. And the whole Delhi would become our society if we didn't have a society like that. So thank you very much. It's wonderful to be able to speak about Srila Prabhupada. Should I just stop here, or do I have time for questions? Who should I ask?
You could take a couple of questions.
Should I stop? Who's in charge here?
Yeah, it's the mic's circulating.
The mic's circulating. Huh?
Stand in charge, Krishna.
Krishna's in charge. Thank you. Actually, I don't really know. I'm still in rebellion against him. I still think I'm in charge. But no, I meant like in the temple, which one of Krishna's devotees did Krishna empower to run the temple? Okay, yes, go ahead.
Thank you for your wonderful lecture. There are so many lectures. This is really going to help us. And as you said, that I'm reading the printouts here in the car. So these are the photos very organized. When I phoned him, he brought a book from here, and during the Bhagavad Gita class, he phoned me and gave me a perfect reference from which I could find the.
Oh, very nice.
So I'm grateful to him.
Very nice.
Chitamitra.
Who is that?
Chitamitra.
Oh. Thank you so much. You really helped me to serve the devotees. Because, you know, you can give a class without preparing. That's possible. Sometimes happens. You know, sometimes happens. Sometimes you just go, Krishna, help! But Mahamanusram Yujacha, we're supposed to also fight. We're not just supposed to. We're supposed to say Krishna help, always, but we're supposed to do our job. In addition, we're not supposed to sleep on the chariot in Krishna fights. Thank you for giving me the chance to read this first and meditate on it. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to make one thing. After the class, I was feeling that you make this class very connected. Because it's maybe because of my enthusiasm, I keep losing the class. Today I was feeling that whatever you said, you were 100% connected. And my diary is full of notes. So thank you so much.
Yes. You're all very efficient with this microphone.
Hare Krishna.
You know what you just reminded me? You just reminded me of another story. Can I tell you a little story? You just reminded me of a story. Prabhupada was sitting, I think this was in New York, and Tamakrishwaraj was sitting next to a devotee named Jai Gopal. And on everyone's plate there was a gulab jamun. So Tamakrishwaraj distracted Jai Gopal and took his gulab jamun and ate it. Prabhupada laughed and laughed. And he said, today Tamakrishwaraj is making a great advancement. So what are you doing? Captured the microphone. Yes, what would you like to
do? Mataji, this lecture was very unique. Very unique lecture. I have read your article caused by infection market. So very happy to see you. We are blessed by your presence here. So my question is, like you were saying that the psychiatrists and psychologists, they are also dealing and they want to empathize, they want to connect with people, but they cannot get frustrated. But still, if we preach to them, they don't listen, they don't they are the most difficult persons to preach to, like psychiatrists and psychologists.
That is your experience. So what are you asking? Are you just making a comment or are you asking for suggestions?
Because they get frustrated, so they are the most difficult.
Well, Mahaprabhu had a similar problem. Of course, he wasn't dealing with counseling. counselors and psychiatrists in his day, but he had a similar problem of who is the most difficult people to preach to. The Mayavadis, and also who else? The student community, it says, Krishna's coming from the student community, the scholars, because they think they already know. This is the problem. You know, when Prabhupada came to America, he was hoping that he would preach first to the intellectuals and the leaders, but they didn't come at first. It was the members of the counterculture, what people called the hippies. Actually, they didn't call themselves hippies. Other people called them hippies. You know what the hippies called themselves? Freaks.
Freaks.
They were the counterculture. They were people who rejected the culture. So when people think they already know, you can't preach to them. This is the problem. Therefore, what is the first requirement, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 8 through 12, what is the first requirement if you want to get knowledge? You have to be? Humble. You have to be humble. Humble means I don't know. If you think you know, nobody can tell you anything. And if I can be very honest, even you join the Krishna Consciousness Movement and you put on tilak and kanti, you can still think I know everything. Sometimes it gets even worse. You know, you stay in the movement for a while and you read the books and you think, oh, I know everything. It's very easy. Oh yes, I'm a big Shastric scholar. I know everything. And you cannot teach somebody who already thinks they know everything. So what do you do with these people? So first you have to flatter them. You know everything. You already know the science of being empathic and connecting. You teach this, yes. Say that to them. You already know this. So if someone like you already knows this, you find this information so helpful in your practice because it gives you the scientific basis for what you're already doing. So you tell them, oh, you're already doing this. And this is ancient wisdom, thousands and thousands of years old wisdom that gives, why does it work? Why does your empathy work? You can preach to them like that. Don't tell them they're wrong. You cannot tell people like that immediately that they're wrong. I'm just thinking also when I first moved into the temple, so every day in the class the devotees were talking about the materialists. And I'm thinking, yes, those materialists. Oh yes, they are so bad. All those materialists are very bad. It took maybe 2 months before I said, that's me. You know, immediately if someone had come to me and said, you're a materialist, I would not have accepted. Actually, I had one instance when I was in graduate school. One of my professors, and generally in graduate school, I wasn't so much actively preaching because they wouldn't have liked it. I mean, I'd gone sorry in tilak, distribute some prasada, but I wasn't like going, hey, Shri Krishna, I wasn't doing that in the university. So this one professor, he asked a question in the beginning of one class, how would you define a materialist? I don't remember what was the context, but he asked, what is a materialist? So people were saying things. And, you know, everybody could see I'm in some kind of spiritual process. So they asked me, the professor asked me, so how would you define a materialist? I thought, oh, good, now I finally get a chance. So I gave some explanation. He was just quiet. So next week in the class, he started the class. He said, this whole week I've been very disturbed. He said, because I went home after last week's class and I can understand that I am a materialist. But I didn't say to him, I didn't say, you are a materialist before. You understand? So always first connect. If somebody thinks, I am wonderful, I know everything, then you say, oh, you wonderful person who knows everything. You follow. Here is the best book for wonderful people who know everything. No, not so you'll know more. Because you already know everything. How can you know more? It's not possible for you. Here is someone who's explaining perfectly everything we know. Is that all right?
So thank you very much for reminding us that first connect then correct. It's a standout point for me today. What I was wanting to know is that when we try, like you said, don't stop yourself and mentally discouraging initially. Some of us have such heavy prarabdha list from previous lives that we're leading and in our own previous ashram and all that. So it becomes so heavy, there's a natural tendency to correct people, especially when you've been in pseudo leadership positions. So how does one constantly encourage oneself to keep up this act of first connect and correct? Because everyone says, oh, I know this guy, he's just doing this too much.
How do you encourage yourself? Well, there could be many levels. First of all, there's something called the law of karma. There's something operating in this universe that is called the law of karma. Why should we treat others the way we want to be treated? Because that's how it works. If I don't like how people are treating me, that is because I am treating others badly. So if you're just selfish, if you're an even selfish, materialistic person, even if you have no spiritual anything, I want people to be nice to me. So there's a law of karma, so I should be nice to other people. It's very simple. Most people, they think they're a victim. They think, oh, I'm such a nice person, but everybody's nasty to me. That is not true. If people are nasty to us, it is because I am not really a nice person. There's nothing unfair in the universe. I mean, there could be other reasons also, but generally, if people are treating me badly, generally, it means I am treating others badly. So that could be first way. Even if I am very grossly selfish, I don't care about Krishna, I don't care about anything but myself. Still, that's why it is a moral principle. In every culture, they may be atheistic culture, it's a moral principle. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Because that is how everything works. You will be treated the way you treat others. So that is one reason. Another reason is you cannot please Krishna. So that's just the material reason. Krishna also gives material reasons in the Bhagavad Gita for Arjuna to fight, yes?
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 Yes.
Okay. So that's all right? It's okay, I gave a material reason? Like Krishna says, for one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death. Is that spiritual? No. So on a spiritual level, how are you going to please Krishna if you're hurting his devotees? It's not possible. You'll never do it. Never do it. At best, one will be a prakriti bhakta. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the prakriti bhaktas are not actually bhaktas. Prakriti means materialistic. He says, but you have to call them bhaktas, otherwise the real bhaktas will not associate with them, and they need association. So you call them prakriti bhaktas. You add the bhakta, like we add, you know, bhakta sunil or something, right? So we're materialist, but a materialistic devotee. That way the other devotees will associate with us. You'll stay a materialistic devotee. If you don't, if you're always slamming people, just won't make any progress. You can get to Adi Shraddha. But you won't even get to Sadhu Sangha. How will you even get to Sadhu Sangha? You won't know how to do Sangha. What to speak of Bhajana Kriya? You can say, oh, I'm doing Bhajana Kriya, but you're not. Because you haven't even gotten to Sadhu Sangha. You'll be stuck. Your spiritual life will be stuck. And then you won't get the reciprocation of Krishna that you want. Then you say, why am I chanting? And he'll say, because you're slamming the devotees. You're slamming the doors. You're making so much noise, you can't even hear me. That's what he's saying.
Sure.
Say, you're cracking my heart. How's Krishna going to come from a cracked heart? Everything just pours out. And you say previous management experience, but even managers, they learn this. I have a PhD in management, educational management. Even in ordinary management, people learn this. So if you learn something different in management, you are not even a good manager. Even ordinary managers, they want to first connect them. They don't know how to connect. That's another thing. And they're correcting for their own sense gratification instead of for the other person's benefit. But they understand at least the principle. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And what you can do, Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests, you can take a vow for like 3 days. And then I think he says 2 weeks. And then I think he says 3 months. So I changed a little bit. I find it's helpful you take a vow for 3 days, then 1 week, then 2 weeks, and then 1 month, then 3 months. And today's Ekadasi, it's a good day to start like that. You can say, I'm going to connect first before I correct anyone on first one to connect. You can say, I will do that for 1 day, and I'll do that today. It's Ekadasi, I'll do it today. And then at the end of the day, you evaluate, how did I do? And see, are you happy or not? And if you're happy with it, then you can do it for 3 days. And then how did I do? Another thing I should mention is many times when we don't connect is because we are afraid. We think the other person is attacking us. So we were talking about where you start. But if we're in a situation where the other person has started, then often we don't connect because we're afraid. We think we're being attacked. And so I hurt others to defend myself. So again, then I'm going to first connect. I have to first connect with Krishna. And nobody can hurt me. So you can also make a vow, I will not defend my ego. Hitting people with hammers is all about my ego. It's not about helping the other person, really. It's all about my ego. So that's another nice vow. I will not defend my ego. We can defend our body. That's not a problem. You can even defend the mind. You can put the mind in a nice position. We can defend our spiritual life. But there's no point to defend the ego. We are trying to destroy the ego, yes? Not defend it. Not feed it. So that's another thing you can say for the next day or next 3 days, I will not defend my ego. Yes, there's somebody else. I hope that is helpful. Yes?
Mamanaji, thank you for the wonderful class. My question is, many times we want to please everybody on this earth. We have the feeling.
We want to please everyone on the earth, okay.
We have this feeling sometimes, we want to please everybody. But then it's very difficult because we have our own limitations. We have our own time, place, and circumstances. We have our own personal sadhana as well, and it becomes very difficult to please everybody on this earth.
Okay, well, first of all, what a wonderful sadhvi. She wants to please everybody on the earth. Most of us, we just think about pleasing ourselves. Maybe our good friends, our family. So you want to please everybody, and you are feeling insufficient. Yes, you are insufficient. We cannot be the best friend. Krishna is the best friend. Krishna is the best friend. Srila Prabhupada said that if the guru says, I am your best friend, he's a rascal. Only Krishna is the best friend. How can the guru be the best friend? By connecting you with Krishna. If someone connects you with your best friend, then that person is also your best friend. Isn't it like that? How can you be the best friend of everyone? Connect them with Krishna. Or at least desire would be they'd be connected with Krishna. Yes, isn't this the Vedic aphorism? May everybody be happy. May everybody find peace. This is Prahlada Maharaj says this prayer. So you can learn this prayer, 5th canto. Residents of Jambudvipa offer prayers, and you can learn that prayer. And Prahlada Maharaj says, may all the envious persons be pacified, may everyone find happiness in Bhakti Yoga. You can say that prayer every day. As far as your own sadhana, Prabhupada said, the highest principle is to save others, and higher than that is to save yourself. And the airplane, they say, first put on your own oxygen mask. Right? Even they usually show a little picture of like someone with a child. Because you're thinking, I have to help the child. But if you don't have your own oxygen mask, you die and the child dies both. So highest principle is to save yourself. First, you have to be connected with Krishna. You cannot connect with anybody unless you are connected with Krishna. It is not possible. A little bit, a little something, but not really. So first you have to be connected with Krishna. First you have to save yourself. First you have to have good sadhana. You have to have high quality japa. You have to have high quality regular reading. Regular, high quality arjuna. Cleanliness. You have to be working on cleaning your heart, cleaning the Gunaja temple of your heart. And you have to do that first. If you don't do that, you can't help anybody. And then you help the people Krishna gives you to help. How can you help everybody in the world? How is it possible? But then you can pray for the rest of the people in the world that you can help. Is that alright? Okay, I think we'll have one more and then we'll stop. Somebody, was one more? Was there one more? No? Okay, thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki.
Jai Mataji Ki.